Good evening. Glad you saw fit to come back tonight. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms 19. Not a very long chapter, only 14 verses. To me, says an awful lot. I don't know what any headings in your Bible may say, but I kind of like to read things, and like when I took notes in high school and in college, I would kind of paraphrase in my words what the teacher was saying to where I'd understand my words better when I'd look back over my notes. And to me, there's three kind of categories in this. One is God's creation, His creation. Another is His Word. And I tell you, the songs Steve picked tonight, I don't know if it was on purpose or by just sheer coincidence, I don't know, but they were perfect for this lesson tonight. And the third section that I see a breakdown is our relationship to God. Now, being only 14 verses, it doesn't get into super deep detail. But those are kind of how I break it down for me when I read this. And if you'd like to read along, I'm just going to read. My Bible is the New King James Version, so if you've got something that might be slightly different, if you see a couple of different words, I'm reading out of the New King James. Starts off in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." Those verses there, those first six verses, to me, I see just the direct connection of talking about God's creation. It's His. What He did. You know, it starts off there, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And these next few verses, you know, about the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Every day, every sunrise, every sunset, every breeze, the rocks, the ocean, it's all God's. He created it. And it's gone out through all the earth, and it's obvious. There is nowhere that His power is hidden. It is in a breeze. It is in a dandelion, a weed. We see the power of God. I absolutely love outside. Right now, when it's 100 and a million degrees, you know, I don't love it as much as when it's cooler, but I love outside. And it is, this is saying, it is impossible to not see God. Its voice rings out from one end of the earth to the other. A blade of grass the mountains. It is God's. He created it. This fact wasn't lost in the New Testament either. Paul wrote to the, if you would, if you have a little, if you want to put your finger or grab a little card from the seat back, you know, seat back and put it in there. We're going to come back to Psalm 19. But turn over to Romans, the first chapter. This is how Paul starts out his letter to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. Rome, now we think of it today as mythology, myths and so forth. To them, it was their religion. And it had been based on kind of a springboard from the Greeks, who they'd kind of taken over from. Greek and Roman mythology, you know, you had a god or a goddess for this, god for that, you know, an explanation with nature or for all the questions of nature. Rome and the Roman Empire was steeped in these ideas, the different altars, the different shrines, and so forth. Paul is writing to the Romans, the Christians in Rome, and he's starting out his message in verse, or one of the themes in verse 20, and he says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Nature, just waking up, opening your eyes, and looking around, not hearing a word from somebody about the Bible, you can see God. It is obvious. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what era of time you are. It is obvious. And it says they are clearly seen. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. And Paul goes on to say that they are without excuse. You cannot, I'm using a double negative here, you cannot not see God. You may go your whole life without somebody preaching book, chapter, and verse to you. You cannot not see God's handiwork. Just look around. And that's what we're seeing here in Psalms 19. It goes from that into an area that I see is about God's Word. It was His creation that He spoke into existence. If you go back to Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and God spoke the world into existence. God's Word is powerful. And these next few verses deal, in my eyes, with God's Word and its preeminence and its power and its benefits to us. In verse 7, back in Psalms 19, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." That verse right there sums up God's Word. Sums up, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Perfect. There's no need for any improvement on it. I watch TV and I'll see or look at, you know, see a commercial or see a sign on a packaging in the store, "New and improved." My first thought is, does that mean your older product wasn't that good? You know, There's no improvement on God's Word. It is perfect. One reason, it is from God. We may not always be in a position in our lives to fully understand something in the Bible. Doesn't invalidate it. We may not be in a place in our lives at that moment that we like what the Word of God says. We may want to do something else, but that does not invalidate the Word of God. Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Every one of us, and I am pretty sure every one of us in here, have been baptized. The Word of God has converted us. Us reading it, us hearing somebody preach it, somebody explain it in Bible class, that Word is powerful. It is able to save and convert souls. His Word never changes, but His Word can change us. His Word has the power to soften hearts. It has the power to give vision to people that may be seeing things unclear. It is perfect. It says the testimony of the Lord is sure. It has to be sure. We are going to be judged by that Word. John 12:48. We're going to be judged by that Word. It is perfect. Making wise the simple. That speaks to me loud and clear. The Word of God is simple even to me. Leave your thumb there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul writes, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That law of the Lord, which is perfect, can make us perfect and complete, equipped for every good work. And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to praise God. Our purpose is to glorify God the Creator. Our purpose is to share that Word with others. His Word, His perfect Word, is able to make us where we can share it with others, and like it said earlier, convert souls. Going back to Psalms 19, verse 8, continuing on with this idea of the Word of God, "The statutes of the Lord are right." They are right. We have here in Nevada, I guess they call them this in every other state, Nevada Revised Statutes. They are revised periodically. Not every law that man has passed winds up staying appropriate. And they revise laws from time to time. Luckily, they need to revise a few others, in my opinion. But it says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." We don't have to... I don't like when the rules are changed. You're playing a game and somebody changes the rules on you. They change the standards. You're going this way and then all of a sudden it changes on you. We don't have to worry about that. And our heart can rejoice. God's law is God's law. And it's not going to change. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord. And I think this was brought up, was it today in your Bible class? A lot of times the word fear, an equal replacement for that word is respect and reverence. Yes, we are to fear the Lord, but not in a cowering, abusive relationship type situation. We fear the God, respect God, because He is God. Amen. Because He is God. Because He has created us. Because He has created everything in our vision. Because He's given us His Word that will judge us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If it wasn't, He wouldn't be God. What? There's not an account in the Bible where someone was condemned by God that it wasn't deserving. Every time. God's Word is perfect. And His judgments are perfect. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He would not be God if it was any other way. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. And like I said earlier, you know, I don't know if Steve knew I was speaking on this, and I don't know if he picked those songs, but it was a heck of a shot in the dark if you didn't pick it. We sang a song that line was inspired from. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. There are things in God's Word sometimes that we don't like because it maybe goes against what we want to do. There's plenty of those. But you know what? There's nothing in God's Word that's not good for us. Nothing. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. It's to be desired more than gold. We talked today in our morning lesson about some of the economic things, people striving, and I know you see them in your daily walks of life that are just scrambling for that almighty dollar. God's Word is to be desired more than refined gold. And it's sweeter because it's good for us. I tell you, I could be happier. He could be worshiping in church again. But those of you that are parents, you understand this. You understand that roller coaster. They're little, they love you, the children, they adore you. It seems like 11 is the magic number. They go crazy. Crazy. It's like they flip a switch at 11. You don't know a thing. You're dumber than dumb. They know it all. And then they start coming back around. a little uncomfortable. they come back around. Parents, be patient. They they mature. The same dumb old parent is the same one, and they come around. And it's to the point now with my son, he'll thank me. Dad, a lesson that you taught me, blah, 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 you were right. And I'm like, excuse me, I was on the phone with my son, who's this? You know, it's just, it catches me out of the blue. And it's sweeter than the honeycomb because it's always good for us. Nothing in God's Word is there that's bad for us. We may not like it. We may not like to bend our life to match God's Word. That's why you don't have to drive too far in Las Vegas to find a religious meeting place. If rather than change your life, just find a place to worship that fits your lifestyle, where you don't have to change. God wants us to change to fit His Word. And it's sweeter. His Word is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. We have there's nobody that we see in the Bible that has been condemned or suffered negative consequences that hasn't been warned. Your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Leave your finger there in Proverbs 19, the next book over, Proverbs 19, verse 16, it says, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Those that are diligent in keeping the commands of God will be rewarded. If that wasn't so, every one of us believes that. Either that or we have no place else to go. We have nothing better to do at this moment in time. Because if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be here. If we did not believe in God's Word, we wouldn't be here. Going back to Psalms, we get into a category we've seen. The power of His creation. We've seen some verses about His Word. And it ends with our relationship with God. A lot of it has to do with His power of being the Creator. A lot of it has to do not only our relationship with Him, but in keeping His Word. And in verse 12, we see in Psalms 19, who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. There are sins that we commit without even knowing it, without even realizing it at times. Of course, there's plenty of sins we commit that are just open rebellion to God. But here it says, cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, those that you're aware of. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. God, I don't want to do those things. I need help. You're the Creator. You're all-powerful. You've given me the Word. I will be held accountable to the Word. Dear God, help me have dominion. Let them not have dominion over me, that I may be blameless, and that I shall be innocent of great transgression. In Acts 17:30, It says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. Ignorance. Not a bump in the road. Not oh, I've stumbled. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He waited long enough for us. He was patient. Patient with our sins. Patient at our times of ignorance, of open rebellion, sin against Him. But now He calls all men everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack. God is on His timetable. It's not always my timetable. A lot of times, I get that part backwards. I think God should do things on my time. He's not slack about making people accountable. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. God is so unwilling for people to die, He gave His Son. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And the last verse in Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Wanting that relationship, the proper relationship, hoping and praying that God sees us pleasing and acceptable. Let not the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Luke 17:10. Jesus told His disciples, He says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We don't need to get the pat on the back. It's nice. It's nice when we pat each other on the back. All it does is add more mileage to that servant. But you know what? We're not doing it for that. When we serve God, it's our duty. A lot of people see duty as a bad word. Oh, I've got to do. It's our duty. It's our honor. One of my favorite quotes was by General Robert E. Lee. And he says, duty is the most sacred word in the English language. One can do no more and should do no less. Amen. That's this. When you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So when we do things for the kingdom, it's only because we should be doing them. And I'd like to end with a verse from Ecclesiastes. Solomon as he's reflected over his life, the power, the glory, the riches, the knowledge he's had. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." That's all we can do. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, please come forward while we stand and sing.